my great pleasure to ask Michelle Allen to come up. He's going to bless us with a word this morning. The Lord's been working on him.
Every day.
Every day, right? Father, we just thank you for Michelle. We lift him up right now, Father, and we just bring him into your presence. Fill him with your spirit and those words that you have for us today that you've given him, Father. We thank you and we bless you in the name of Yeshua. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. So the blessing over the reading of the word. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher kidshanu b'mitzvato v'tzivanu la'asok b'divrei ha-Torah. Well, you know, I tried every which way to get out of this today. I'll be honest with you. I had just come off a trip to Africa. I was tired. And Rabbi David said, you know, he texted me, and, you know, I had the excuse that I was overseas, so I didn't see that text in time. So as he just kept asking me, and I kept saying, well, I don't know. And, you know, the more I tried to dance my way out of it, the more I realized God wants me to do this. You know, it's when you feel you're weakest and where you need God the most. That's where he wants you to be sometimes. And that's where exactly he wanted Israel to be. This basically, I'm going to do a midrash of the portion today, which is very, I think, applicable. How many people need to be encouraged today? I'd say that's over 50%. The word today is shalach, which means sent. He sent spies. And let's turn to Numbers 13. I mean, Bar 13. That's where our Torah portion started today. First verse. Okay, let me wait for the crinkling to stop. I'm digital today, completely digital, with my notes. So I pray that I do well. A rabbi is a digital rabbi. Have you noticed that? Yeah. Digital, through and through. I've really taken a lot of leadership from him on that. Amen. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the people of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers you shall send a man, every one a chief among them. Why this is important is that he chose, from the 12 tribes, he chose one leader. Because whatever that leader came back with, that's how he was going to influence his people. Whether the good or the bad. So if we drop down to verse 17, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up into the Negev and go up into the hill country and see what the land is, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there is trees in it or not. Be of good courage, bring in some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. So the message today is, be of good courage. There's something good ahead of you. There's something good in the land where the Lord has brought you. The Lord has taken you out of Egypt to bring you into the land of milk and honey. That means a land of blessings. That means a blessing for your life. Whatever your life, whatever the Lord is leading in your life, there's a land of milk and honey for you. Now, is there good and bad in the land? Yes. Are there challenges in the land? Yes. But guess what? Verse 23, they came to the valley of Eshcol and cut down from there a branch with a single cluster of grapes. They carried it on a pole between the two of them. They also brought some pomegranates and figs. And the place was called the Valley of Eshcol because the cluster that the people of Israel cut down from there. Now, you know, my wife and I went to Provence in France, and our lifelong, you know, we've been thinking, man, we want a tour of vineyard, French vineyard, the Rhone Valley, which is very nice wine, red wine, white wine, so on. So we set up a tour, and we went, actually walked in the vineyards, and these famous French grapes are puny little things like that, you know? And I mean, and each vine, you know, has a few on them, and it takes like a whole row to fill a basket, you know? Now here, these guys went into Israel, and they need a pole with two guys on it to carry one cluster of grapes. Can you imagine? I mean, it must have been huge. I mean, they didn't have nuclear fertilizer back then, you know? It must have been huge. What's the message? It's abundant out there. It's an abundant, the Lord's blessing is abundant, you know? And that's why he told Moses, bring back some of the fruit so the people can see it, so they can get hope to see the grapes, the huge grapes that will be more than enough, not just for you and your family, but beyond you, so your blessings will flow over. So God wants us to have big faith, not just to get by faith, you know? You know, in my business, we deal with big equipment, you know? And our faith is to sell big equipment, not just little equipment, big equipment. And every time I go to Africa, right about a half hour, especially Nigeria, which is has a lot of challenges, a lot of stress. And before I get off the plane, about a half hour before we're flying in, I always take the scripture of Joshua 1. It says, be strong and be of good courage. Be strong and be of good courage. For every land that you touch will be yours. Amen. So I claim the blessing right before I go in. Amen. Okay? And I know there's going to be challenges. Without a doubt, there will be challenges when I'm there. Whether I'm there one day or 2 weeks, there's going to be some challenges. So I go in and I read the word before I go in, because I know there's going to be some giants in the land. So I want to go back to Numbers 13. And let's continue. The spies come back, right? At the end of 40, verse 25. At the end of 40 days, they returned from spying out the land, and they came to Moses and Aaron, to all the congregation of the people of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. They brought back word to them, to all the congregation, and showed them the fruit of the land. Here's the good of the land. Here's what we have to look forward to. And they told him, we came to this land to which you sent us. It does flow with milk and honey, and this is its fruit as a proof. However, the people who dwell in the land are strong, and the cities are fortified and very large. And besides, we saw the descendants of Anak there. And the Amalekites that dwell in the land of Negev, the Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the hill country, and the Kenites by the sea along the Jordan. So what happened? You got the land, and you got the challenges. Let me ask you a question. Did God know that there were giants in the land before he sent them? Did he tell them up to that point? No, because probably they wouldn't even gone up that far, you know? Now, Joshua and Caleb saw a big blessing, okay? If you see the next verse here, But Caleb, 30, verse 30, Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Then the other guys, what do they say? Then the men who had gone with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are." So they brought a bad report to the people of Israel, a bad report of the land that they had spied out, saying, "The land, though through which we have gone to spy it out, is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people we saw are in it are of great height. And there we saw the Nephilim, the sons of Anak, who come from Nephilim, and we seem to ourselves like grasshoppers, and so we seem to them." So, you got two sets of guys here. They saw the same thing. They saw both saw the fruits, and both saw the giants, and both saw the challenges. And both come back, and they see different things. One sees incredible blessing, okay? The other one sees incredible defeat, which are the other 10 spies. And what do? They incite fear in the people right away. Did not Joshua and Caleb see the giants as well? Do you think they were in another party at another other part of the Negev or something? And they saw it. But can you imagine, these guys were gone 40 days. And it says that Caleb had a different spirit about him. He had a different spirit going in, and he had a different spirit going out. Why? Because for 40 days, imagine if these guys saw the giants in the second week. Now when we're talking about giants, you know, maybe 8-9 foot tall. And they were, if you go back to Genesis, I'll let you research it. Nephilim, go back to Genesis. It's where the angels, and I don't think it's the good band of angels, they came down and they took human women as wives and intermixed. And who knows if these guys had greater powers, you know? Who knows if these giants, the descendants, had power still? I can imagine. But anyway, they saw the giants. The other guys saw the giants. Joshua and Caleb saw the giants as one step to get past. They didn't think, well, we don't. If we just ignore the giants, you know, some of this teaching you've heard or I've heard, that just let's ignore that, okay? And we'll get the Lord's blessing. No, you have to deal with the giants. They're going to have to deal with the giants, you know? But the Lord is on their side. And what I was saying is for 40 days, these guys are together, and I'm telling you, there was no TV back then. There was talking around the campfire. And I'm sure as shooting, those guys started talking about those giants. And those 10 spies, that were, by the time they came back, they were so overcome with fear because they were talking amongst themselves. Man, there's no way we're going to overcome those guys with our group back there. There's just no way, every day. And can you imagine, it's Caleb and Joshua came back with a different spirit. That means when those guys were talking all that rubbish, Caleb and Joshua, they were guarding their own heart. Somehow, they were saying every day, maybe they were together with themselves, between themselves, and talking about, this is going to be hard, but this is a great opportunity. We have some great, great blessings once we move in here. Somehow, they maintain their spirit differently. Because 40 days is a long time. Okay? Someday, and they came back. And what did the other guy say? We are grasshoppers in our own sight. That's how bad it was. Okay? Now, God is well aware of the giants, and God is well aware of the giants in your life, too. Okay? He has brought you thus far, and What are the giants confronting you in your life right now? Okay? Can you guys give me some examples of what some giants would be? Lack of money. Wisdom. A job. What are some giants? Sickness. Yes. There's some big giants. There are some giants. And guess what? We're going to have to deal with them head on. We will have to deal with them head on. But greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. Okay? And let's go back here. Let's go back to what Caleb said here. Caleb, in verse 30, quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and occupy it, for we are well able to overcome it." Let us go up at once. Today, let's go. It's incredible. The guy is ready. The guy saw the giants. He saw everything. He says, "Let's go right now." What a man of faith. What a man of faith. Now, there's challenges in your life. What is stressing you? What is stressing you? What are the giants that are stressing you? Okay? That's the giant you have to face. And that's the giant you say that you should have the spirit of color to say, "Let us go up at once and occupy this with the Lord, with the Spirit of God." If you drop down to chapter 14, verse 6, that was Caleb. Now we're talking about Joshua. And Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who spied out the land, tore their clothes and said to the congregation of Israel, "The land which we passed through to spy out is exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land that flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord. Do not fear the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their protection is removed from them. The Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Amen. Huh? Who told Joshua that their protection is removed from them? He had faith in his heart. He had trust. He had trust that this is how the Lord is. When push comes to shove, the Lord is going to come through. He knew that in his heart. The spirit of Joshua. You know, I remember last time I shared, you remember about David? I shared about David. And what did he say to his giant? He saw that giant flapping his jaws for like 3 days, intimidating the whole army of Israel. And he comes on the scene, this boy, teenager, 15, 16 years old. And what does he say? He says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should talk to the armies of God like this?" A boy, a teenager. He knew God. He knew God. And when it came time for him to battle what did he do? He ran at Goliath. He ran. He didn't even need the 5 stones. He just needed one. And guess what? He wouldn't have had enough time to use the other 4 anyway. That's where his faith was. He ran to this. What I'm saying is he ran to the situation. He didn't run away from it. What is stressing you? What is stressing you? Are you running away from it? Are you running to it with the Lord, with the stones of the Lord in your hand? What did Joshua say? He said this. What is the spirit of Joshua? They are like bread in our hand. It's the same spirit that David had. They are like bread in our hand. Who? These 9-foot guys are like bread in our hand? They are like bread in our hand, man. He was ready. The people of Israel weren't. You know, I named my son Joshua. His second name is Joshua because in my heart, I wanted him to have this fighting spirit that no matter what giant he faces, he'll run to it, you know? And I just tell you a little story. I've talked to Dexter about it. He's an incredible athlete for his age. He's 7 years old, and he runs circles around his fellow age. So I move him up. I moved him up in basketball, and I made him face some giants. You know, he's about 52 inches, and he's playing some 10-year-olds that are giants to him, 2 feet taller, you know. And he has to do what he's fast, and he breaks away, and sometimes he faces the giants. And guess what? We played some games, and sometimes those giants are not fair. Huh? Sometimes they're hacking because he's so fast, they get frustrated. And they start hacking and falling. And I said, he comes to me after the game, you know, he comes to me afterwards and says, "Dad, they fouled me, and they didn't call it." And I said, "My friend, you know, this is real life. Real life is not fair sometimes. If you play the pickup game, you think anyone's going to call fouls out there?" So I tried to train him, you know, he wasn't getting hurt, you know. He was getting a little slammed, but he wasn't getting hurt. Okay? So that's what, you know, I think that's what the Lord wants to instill us. He lets us face the giants sometimes, you know. And how do we respond? That's the question. Do our hearts melt? Or do we pick up a spirit of courage? You know, let's go to the Haftarah portion when I talked about Rahab, the prostitute. I love it. The Lord uses a prostitute for his purposes. He uses anybody who has the right heart. Joshua 2, verse 8. Joshua 2, now what was happening? Israel was actually 40 years later coming into the land, coming into Jericho. Jericho had walls that were 20 feet thick. I don't know if that's exact, but they were immense. Okay, thick all the way around, impenetrable barrier. And what do Israel's enemies hear, and how are they perceiving Israel? Well, verse 8, the two spies that came to Jericho, before the men lay down, she, Rahab, came up to them on the roof, and she said to them, "I know that the Lord has given you the land." Can you imagine? This is somebody in the enemy's territory. "I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that the fear of you has fallen upon us, and that all the inheritance of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. As soon as we heard it, what happened? Our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath." The battle is already over. You know, it's like some of these NBA finals. The battle, when Miami played the first round, it was like the battle was already over. You know, they were so intimidated. Who played the first round? I don't remember. Dexter, who played in the first round? Yeah, come on. I mean, they, you know, facing LeBron, they were just intimidated, you know. And with reason, And look at this. Did anyone go out and do a propaganda campaign for Israel before they went in the land? No, it was the Lord. The Lord did it. And the Lord's glory preceded Israel. The Lord will fight on your behalf. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord. Okay? And what happened? The Red Sea was opened. Stand does not mean do nothing. That's not what that means. It doesn't mean watch the TV, okay, in your couch and put the channel on and watch the Lord do his thing. That's not what it means. What it means is stand in faith that thing that I'm going to walk through tomorrow, the Lord is going to arrive on the scene. And he will deal with it. And he will overcome it. I just have to stand with him. Be of good courage. Be courageous. You got to be courageous. That's where I'm leading to with this whole thing, is that we have to be courageous. Let's go back. Numbers 14. Let's continue the Torah portion. Numbers 14, verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it. God was pleased with Caleb, and because he had the courage to stand up. Remember when everybody else was talking against him, and had 10 other witnesses? Can you imagine? 10 other witnesses contradicting what you're saying. He had the courage to stand and maintain the different spirit and be courageous. And what does the Lord say? Verse 30. Not one shall come into the land where I swore that I would make you dwell, except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, son of Nun. But your little ones, who you said would become prey, like Rick was talking, I will bring in, and they shall know that the land that you have rejected. But as for you, your dead bodies shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall be shepherds in the wilderness 40 years, and shall suffer for your faithlessness until the last of your dead bodies falls in the wilderness. According to the number of days in which you spied out the land, 40 days, a year for each day, you shall bear your iniquity 40 years, and you shall know my displeasure. So, on the one side, God is pleased with the courage of Joshua and Caleb. And on the other side, he's very displeased at the cowardice and the fear and the unbelief of the 10 spies. And as you said, Rick, it has consequences. He judged Israel 40 years. They were not allowed to go into the land, that generation. I want to say there's no neutral ground. You know, when we experience conflict and anxiety, you know, whatever is causing you anxiety, it's conflict usually of some sort. We want to go into a neutral holding pattern. You know what I mean? Because the stress, anxiety gets too much. We want to go into a holding pattern where I'm not really seeking God. I'm not really believing God to overcome this situation. At the same time, I'm not doing anything else. I'm not running away. But guess what? There is no middle ground. Really. There is no automatic pilot in this life. I'm sorry to tell you. There is no automatic pilot. You choose to move forward or you choose to move back, you know? And the Lord cannot do anything unless you stand up and be courageous in your situation. Unless you stand up in faith and believe in him, he can't, his hands are tied, you know? And after a time, it gets to a point that whatever situation you're confronting, it gets to a point that if you don't believe him, you will fall into disbelief and unbelief. And you'll start, your heart will harden. Because you can't be on the firing line and be neutral. Something's going to happen. Either you're going to move forward or you're going to fall back. Okay? So, this is kind of where I want to round it up. Hebrews 10:35. What does it say? Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. Who got rewarded? Caleb and Joshua. Why? They had confidence and courage before they went in the land. Do not throw away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may well receive what is promised. For yet a little while, the coming one will come and will not delay. But my righteous one shall live by faith. What were Caleb and Joshua doing? They were living by faith. They saw the giants in the land, and they spoke their faith. And guess what? God was pleased. That's what I'm trying to get through. God was pleased with them. So that at the end of 40 years, those guys were at the head of the nation of Israel when they moved in. And the same courage that Joshua, and guess what? When Joshua, if you read the book of Joshua, it's full of battles. It's full of battles. But right in the beginning, Moses says to Joshua, be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. Only be strong, and he only tells him like three times in a row. Joshua 1, read it on your own time. Be strong and courageous. Only be strong and courageous. But don't forget to be strong and courageous. What is the message? You got it. And guess that whole book of Joshua is a book of battles, one battle after another. So even though it took another 40 years, those same battles were waiting for him. And he had to have the same spirit of courage to go in. And guess what? The Lord did some mighty things, as we know. The walls of Jericho came tumbling down. I mean, all kinds of stories. What's the flip side? Well, there's a flip side. Verse 38. But my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Okay? Let me read again. My righteous one shall live by faith. If he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Well, what do we shrink back to? When we confront a situation, a conflict, and we shrink back, we're not just shrinking back into neutrality, but usually we're shrinking back to some crutch, okay? Some people go start smoking cigarettes, you know, when their anxiety gets too much. Some people get, you know, diverted with, you know, sexual sin. Other people start drinking. Okay, those are the biggies, right? Maybe you just go and watch the TV for 5 hours and just, you know, veg out, right? Or eat food. Or some people do drugs. People do drugs to escape. That's why they do drugs. Okay? But maybe you and me are escaping in another way, you know, that's not as dramatic as that. Because we don't We want to shrink away from the situation. We don't want to take a stand and be courageous. And God will help you be courageous. Caleb had a different spirit. It means that you're not alone. God will give you that spirit to overcome. But you have to take the first step. You have to take the step of faith yourself. Be of good courage, Lord. Let's read this last verse together. And let's proclaim our courage together. What does it say? Verse 39, last verse of Hebrews 10. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Let's read it again. Isn't it good? But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve their souls. Amen. So, be of good courage today. Why don't we just say today, I'm going to be courageous and overcome by my faith. Let's say that together. Let's think of the giant. Who is the Nephilim in your life? Who is that Nephilim? Let's look at him and say, I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to be courageous and overcome by faith. Amen. Okay. God bless you.